to grow up in New England all my young years, and for 3 weeks in September in West Springfield, Massachusetts, a place actually this week that was hit by a tornado. It was hard to believe. A tornado went through right through my mom's town and others. Everybody's okay that we know there. But West Springfield, Massachusetts has the New England Six State Fair called the Big E, called the Big Exposition. And my wife and I, to this day, we just happen to be going back for our home church's 25th anniversary, and it's during the weeks of the Big E. And I'm glad about it. We'll get to go back. And we've been there since we were little children. And it's amazing how much has not changed in all the years. You know, you could still go to that same vendor that's in that same spot. Amen. You think about the smells of the exposition, probably except for the farm buildings. That's a little different. But the food, which encompasses many of the wonderful smells, you smell things like barbecued chicken. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, I'm going to read this list. I'm going to get blessed by my own preaching in a second here. Curly fries. Fried dough called elephant ears. Amen. I remember the first time I ever saw one of these, a deep fried turkey leg. How many's ever seen one of those before? I saw this guy walking around. He looked like a caveman. He had that thing and I was expecting him to be pulling his wife by the hair along the way. I saw one of those. They have these cream puffs and steak sandwiches and pulled pork and ribs. But when I think of one of the staples at any fair is something called cotton candy. And I mentioned it this morning, cotton candy. You know, you always see children with cotton candy. You don't see a lot of adults with cotton candy. If you've ever seen one of my kids with cotton candy, they have it here, they have it here, they have it here. It looks like war paint when they're done with it, amen? Cotton candy. In our text, Paul, under the inspiration of the Spirit, is chiding the church at Corinth for their carnality. For you see, then, just as now, carnality is exhibited by one's behavior. If you're carnal, it will come out in the way you live, and all God's people said. It'll come out in the way you talk. It'll eventually seep out. And it was Paul's desire to feed this church with meat, with spiritual meat, with the deeper things of God, with more revealed truth. But because they wouldn't receive it, he had to feed them with milk. It was all that they could handle. Why? Carnality. Fleshly appetites. Pleasing the flesh. The church at Corinth was a carnal church, partially because the city of Corinth was a very carnal city. And can I say that the battle between the flesh and the spirit and the problem with carnality is always a problem for a new Christian, because they don't realize they've got two natures that are battling one another. See, before they used to just simply serve sin. That's all. By the way, that's all a lost person can do. They can only serve sin. I came to this conclusion many years ago reading the Word of God. And you know, a cat meows because it's a cat. You know, a sinner will cuss and use foul language, and we want them to kind of clean up. But you know why they do that? Because they're a sinner. That's why. But after a person gets saved and they have a spiritual nature and a carnal nature, many times it's the carnal nature that dominates because we choose not to feed the spirits on the Word of God. Because we choose not to come to the house of God and get around the people of God. This is becoming an increasingly big problem, sadly, with veterans of Christianity. Carnality. For you see, there's a movement afoot that wants to make the church more appealing to the sinner. It wants to Christianize, and then use the world's methods, and they rationalize it by saying, you know, old-time Christianity is dying, and we've got to use these methods, these new methods, to reach the world. It's called the contemporary church, the emerging church, or the contemporary Christian movement. Let me just define the word contemporary. Webster defines it as happening, existing, like we would say so-and-so is a contemporary of, living or coming into being during the same period of time. Simultaneous, now listen to this, marked by the characteristics of the present period. Marked by the characteristics of the present period, modern, current. This contemporary Christian movement, it has worship teams. It has praise bands. It has Christian rock concerts. It has relevant short sharing sessions. It has cappuccino bars. It has signs that say, "Come as you are." And God doesn't care how you dress. Can I say this? I do not impugn the motive of many of those in the CCM church. For many of them have a genuine concern and love for the souls that Jesus died for. I do not impugn their motives. However, may I say this? When we perform the work of God, it must be in harmony with the Word of God. If any man strive for the masteries, he's not crowned except he strive lawfully. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. I can hit a softball a long way. Yesterday, I hit one out of the prison. Amen, Brother Joe? I hit one completely out. It was a foul ball, and it only went about that far. Amen. But listen, I can hit a softball. I have hit a softball probably 350 to 380 feet, and it was foul, and the umpire said foul. You know what I didn't get to do? I didn't get to run around the bases and go home run. It was foul. You know what this movement is? It's foul. It's foul. It's foul. You see, when we think about it, their motive may be right, but their methods and their message are not in accord with the Holy Scriptures. And again, it's not my intention to hurt, but rather to expose error and to help some to save themselves from this untoward generation, as Acts chapter 2, verse 40. For the church, ladies and gentlemen, is not to be marked by the characteristics of the world, but it's to be a bulwark, a standard against worldliness. Amen. Not too many churches preaching that anymore. And listen, what I say to them is shame on them. It's been right, and it's been in the Bible all these years. It just so happens that the current trend doesn't like old-fashioned preaching. Well, who cares what the current trend likes? Listen, error is error, wrong is wrong, sin is sin, whether you call it something else or not. With God's help, I'd like to compare the CCM to cotton candy. And I'd like to preach to you a message called Contemporary Carnal Cotton Candy Christianity. That's a lot of C's, amen. Contemporary, carnal, cotton candy Christianity. I'm afraid, ladies and gentlemen, that in the 21st century, the world is creeping into the church through movements like the CCM. It's like the boat that's taking on water. The church of today is adopting the world's methods and messages, and there are only two ends to this. You either got to get the water out of the boat or the boat sinks. I'm telling you, CCM is a sinking ship. It's bringing the water of the world into the church. And ladies and gentlemen, as your pastor, I know Pastor John feels the same way. Listen, we will bail that water out of here. Amen. So the boat stays afloat in the water. One of the most prevalent areas in which CCM philosophy is invading the modern church is in the me attitude. And that is to say, I'm saved. I can do what I want. I can wear what I want. And this is usually followed by the claim of Christian liberty. You know, I have liberty in the Lord. I can do what I want. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free, the Bible says. Can I say, if you're like this, you do not understand what Christian liberty is? You've missed it. Christian liberty is not about I. True Christian liberty is being freed from the penalty and power of sin. Romans chapter 8, verse 20 and 21 says, "For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same to hope, because the creature itself also, the same shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God." Liberty is the ability, with the Spirit of God's help, to say no to sin. No to carnality. No to the old affections. Christian liberty and Christian responsibility are Siamese twins. You see, ladies and gentlemen, you may have liberty, but you're responsible to the people around you. Amen. I had this recently. I saw a young lady in our church. We were in an area, was outside of the church house. But listen, they were perhaps wearing something that they ought not to have been wearing. And I watched somebody ogle that young lady. What do you mean ogle, Pastor? They went up and down her. Now listen, I'm not mad at that young lady tonight, but I promise you this, modesty would have prevailed and kept that man from ogling that young lady. You say, "I don't like that, Pastor." I don't care if you like that or not. I watched it with my own eyes. I watched this man go up and down because the clothes were a little too tight. Listen to me. You may have liberty, but you're also responsible to those around you. 1 Corinthians 8:9. "But take heed lest any man, and by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak." Galatians 5:13. "For brethren, you've been called unto liberty, only use not your liberty for an occasion to the flesh." Romans 14:7 says, "None of us liveth to himself, and none of us dieth to himself." There's so many obvious areas about this CCM movement that are just a mess. Can I say this? First of all, you have worldly music. Ladies and gentlemen, please, there is no such thing as Christian rock and roll. There is no such thing. Rock and roll was a term in the soul community that was a term for fornication. See, there is no such thing as Christian fornication. Amen? That's why there's no such thing as Christian rock and roll. I've used so many of these coming from my rock and roll background. I take people to lyrics, and some people say, "Pastor, hey, it's all about the words, Pastor. It's not about the music. It's all about the words." Well, listen to these words. Take a good look in your heart. Tell me, what do you see? "It's black and it's dark. Now, is that how you want it to be? It's up to you what you decide, your own fate. Make your choice now, for tomorrow will be far too late." Can I say this about all that? That's all biblical. Your heart is black. It's deceitful. Amen. It's desperately wicked. Hey, you can choose and you can determine your own fate. All that is biblical. Twisted Sister, rock band from the mid-80s. Name of their album was called Burn in Hell. I don't think that it's all about the words. I think there's meter and music, and there's proper and improper music. Amen? Christian, secular. Listen to this. Bloom Allen, The Closing of the American Mind, said this: "Rock music has one appeal only, a barbaric appeal to sexual desire. Not love, but sexual desire undeveloped. Its admirers want to make rock appealing and make rock respectable. The thing can't be done. Rock is appealing because it's vulgar. Rock is the quintessence of vulgarity. It's crude, loud, and tasteless." Pattison, The Triumph of Vulgarity. Here's one right from the words of their own mouth. A woman named Lita Ford, a rock musician of the 80s, said this: "Listen, rock and roll ain't church. It's a nasty business. You got to be nasty too. If you're a goody-goody, you can't sing it or play it." And to one time, I would say, even a broken clock's right twice a day. To that, I would say, amen. Rock and roll ain't church. And it has no place in the church of God. None whatsoever. Ought to have no place in your home either. Amen, amen, and amen. Godly music does not appeal to the flesh, but rather to the spirit in its musical composition, method, and message. You say, what does it say? 1 Corinthians 14:15 says, "I will sing with the spirit." You can't do that if you're listening to rock and roll. You're not singing with the spirit. I'll tell you what you're doing. You're grieving the spirit. Ephesians 5, 18 and 19. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart. Colossians 3:16, sister verse to that. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I've said it before. I'll say it hopefully till the day I die. Christian rock is just as illegitimate as Christian cigarettes, Christian whiskey, Christian cocaine, and Christian pornography. It's carnally inconsiderate, this worldly music, worldly attire that goes along with this CCM movement, the baggy jeans on boys with underwear showing, and spaghetti strings on the women, untucked shirts and tight blouses and short skirts, and the boys with their Beatles haircuts. And listen to me, ladies and gentlemen, Leviticus 10:10 says we're supposed to put a difference between the clean and the unclean. Amen. Supposed to be something different that people can see. Worldly music, worldly attire, worldly entertainment. Through the CCM, this is creeping into the church. Oh, by the way, old-time religion has never been very popular. And listen, the more Satan gets a grip on this planet, the less popular it's going to be. There's going to be a smaller and a smaller and a smaller. You say, Pastor, what about these mega churches? Well, that's what we're going to talk about in just a minute. Listen, we're not in the entertainment business. We're in the Father's business. Amen. Which is trying to reach souls through the preaching of the Word of God. If God's work is to have God's blessing, it must be done God's way and not violate God's Word. I've said this many, many times talking to people that are caught up in this movement. What is missing from the worldly, fleshly CCM Christianity? Two things. Obedience to God's Word. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, this is it. Obey it or disobey it. But you get to choose. You say, well, I don't like the verse where it talks about modesty. Then burn it or obey it. A whole lot better. You say, well, I just don't believe that verse. That's fine, but it's still in there. Amen. How about holiness to God? You know, there's not too much holiness at a Christian rock concert. You know why? It's a rock concert. Amen. The spirit and the flesh are mortal enemies. We know that. My response to the worldly living by God's people is it leads to worldly worship, worldly churches, and eventually the death of those churches. 1 Corinthians 10:23. Here it is, liberty. All things are lawful to me. But here's what Paul said. But all things are not expedient. All things are lawful to me, but all things edify not. He that soweth to the flesh of the flesh shall reap corruption, the Bible says. Hebrews 10:24 says, and let us consider one another and provoke unto love and unto good works. I said I'd get to the message. That's all introduction. The message is short, I promise. I've done all my preaching, not all of it, but a lot of it. There's some similarities between the CCM movement and cotton candy, and I want to give them to you tonight. The first thing I know about cotton candy is the sweetness of cotton candy. Cotton candy is sweet only. Cotton candy is pure sugar. You know, the CCM is sweet Christianity. No hell. No repentance. No sin. By the way, no sin, no sinners, no reason to be saved from sin. Amen? I think when I think of this, I think of the opposite of this. I think of the story where Jehoshaphat wanted to inquire the Lord to go up to battle in 1 Kings 22. And in verse 7 and 8 it says, and Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord beside that we might inquire of him? And the king of Israel, that's Ahab, said to Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imla, by whom may we inquire of the Lord, but I hate him. Why did the king hate the prophet? The verse says this, for he doth not prophesy concerning good unto me, but rather evil. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, we have come to the time where people are requesting preachers that give them what they want. Listen, heaven help you. I understand building sermons. I understand this home improvement service. I think that'll be a help to our church. But heaven help us all if you got a preacher that you want to tickle your ears, because that's not a preacher. A preacher is someone who stands upon the authority of God's Word and says, like it or lump it. The idea of get wrong or get right, it's up to you. But if it's in the Bible, we're going to preach it straight. See, that's not a common characteristic of the CCM movement. It's like cotton candy. It's only sweet. We only want to hear the good things, Pastor. Oh, we don't want to hear about hell. We don't want to hear about... Listen, Paul said this in Acts 20:27, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." Listen, you've got young people in that youth pastor's youth group. You ought to be glad he's a man of God and tells them what they need to hear, not what they want to hear. They're getting ready to go down the wrong way, and he says to them, "Stop, you're going the wrong way." You say, "Who is he to tell them that?" I'll tell you what he is. He's a man of God, filled with the Spirit of God, preaching the Word of God. And we're thankful to have him. Amen. You ought to be if you have teenagers in our youth group. The Bible tells us that Jesus spoke of heaven 24 times and hell 56 times. You know what that tells me? Jesus wants us to know twice as much about hell as we do about heaven. Heaven's going to be wonderful. Amen, amen, and amen. But listen to me. There are too many gutless, spineless, limp-wristed so-called preachers that are afraid to preach on the negative things because of a salary. Listen, I promise you, I tender my resignation before that happens. I'd resign and just depend on the mercy of God instead of a paycheck before I'd be afraid to preach on the negative things. 8 out of 10 commandments are negative. As a parent, I'm learning that the word no is a hated word by those that are immature. You say, how is that? Because when I look at Luke and he's doing something he shouldn't, and I say, no! And he looks at me and goes, ah! And you know, I see Christians doing that. Oh, not with their fists, not jumping up and down, but they look at the preacher like he's some sort of aberration because he says you shouldn't do that. You ought not to wear that. You shouldn't go there. They look at you and say, pfft. Listen, you could say, pfft, but you're going to give an account for what you've heard. I'm going to give an account for what I preach. You're going to give an account for what you heard and what you did with it. This CCM is a sweet-only gospel. Beware of those who subscribe to the sweet-only Christianity. By the way, I'm not a sourpuss either. Amen? You don't have to just walk around, you know, like you've been drinking lemon juice for a living, amen? I say, well, some preachers are like that. Walk around like this, you feel like you can't even approach them. I like to think I'm a happy person. Merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but not sweet only from the pulpit. Sweetness of cotton candy. The sustenance of cotton candy. Not only the sweetness, but the sustenance. You see, cotton candy has absolutely zero nutritional value. Nothing. It was where were we? Unc, you got some cotton candy. We went to the Tigers game, amen? And Unc got some cotton candy. He asked me if I wanted any. And honestly, the reason I don't eat it more than anything else is my teeth, amen? My teeth are bad enough. He's just eating away, and I looked at the side of the bag. Nutritional value, zero. Nothing but sugar. See, can I say this? That the CCM has no nutritional value for the spirit. It has no nutritional value. See, the Bible says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word. How is it that the Christian grows? It's as simple as this. He reads the Word of God, and he obeys the Word of God. He reads the Word of God, and he obeys the Word of God. And listen, you grow strong by reading it, just like it's that milk. The Bible says in Proverbs 9, "Wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out her 7 pillars. She hath killed her beasts and mingled her wine. She hath also furnished her table. Come, eat my bread and drink of the wine which I have mingled." So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I remember back when Eric was a little guy, all he wanted to eat were, we had these cheese puffs, these just baby cheese puffs. And that's all he wanted to eat, just baby cheese puffs. And his mother and I came to the idea that he was not getting enough nutrition and he needed to eat some fruits and some vegetables. Amen. And so praise the Lord for that V8 fusion. Amen to that. 100% of your daily recommended allowance of vegetables. And we made sure that he ate properly. Ladies, I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, this Burger King, have it your way, contemporary Christianity that this CCM promotes, you know what it is? It's a bunch of baby cheese puffs with no nutrition to it. No nutrition to it at all. Hebrews chapter 5 says, "For when ye ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again by the first principles and oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. He is a babe, but strong meat belongeth to them that are full age." Listen, you cannot grow. You cannot grow on 1 hour a week entertainment-driven Christianity. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. One of the reasons we meet 3 times a week around the Word of God is to help you grow. To help me grow. To get around one another in fellowship. We need the Word of God. And I think, praise the Lord for Brother Sam, we don't need a newer, relevant version. Amen? We don't need a revised version. We need a reread version. The old-fashioned King James Bible. Contemporary Christianity is like cotton candy. The sweetness, the sustenance or lack thereof, the substance or lack thereof. Do you know what happens when you pour a little water on cotton candy? It turns to nothing. You know why? Because it is nothing. It has no substance. No substance to it at all. Matthew 13, 5 and 6 says, "Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith it sprang up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away." Jesus explains that parable to his disciples later in Matthew 13, 20 and 21. He says, "He that received the seed in stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, yet hath no root in himself, but dureth for a while. When tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended." Can I tell you where I see this in Christianity? I see this, Brother Jones, in salvation without conviction. You say, what is salvation without conviction? Well, just pray this prayer and you'll be saved. No. No. You need to be convicted of the fact that you are a sinner and in need of a Savior before you can ever be saved. This cotton candy Christianity, hey, listen, ladies and gentlemen, they're packing out the house. Up there in Grand Rapids, there's a fellow named Rod Bell wrote a book called Love Wins. It basically puts an attack on the authority of the Word of God on hell, that God would never send people to hell. Listen to me, God doesn't send people to hell. Their sin sends them there. And yes, love does win because God is going to win, but people choose what they want. I'll guarantee you, Brother Sims, he had 12,000 this morning. Probably had 3 services. But you listen to me, there is absolutely no substance to it. The root is not there. Colossians chapter 2 says, "Therefore you've received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith as ye have been taught." See, that's the problem. Established in the faith as ye have been taught. Thank God we have good teaching here. I'm so thankful for our Sunday school teachers that teach the Word of God and the people that we bring in. But listen, ladies and gentlemen, we're to be rooted in this book, not the opinions of men. It takes receiving the Son of God and obedience to the Word of God and faithfulness to the house of God and listening to the man of God and yielding to the Spirit of God and fellowshipping with the people of God to develop your roots. Ephesians 4 and 14, "That henceforth we be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive." The Bible says in Psalms chapter 1, verse 3, "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season." What does verse 2 say? "That he meditateth on God's law day and night." See, it's the Word of God, folks. The Word of God exposes error. It exposes error. And when I see people that come along that write books in the name of Christianity that cast doubt on the Word of God, it doesn't take me long to know when a skunk's nearby. Amen? Listen, anybody who's writing books in the name of Christianity that cast doubt upon this book, there's a skunk nearby. Amen? There's a skunk nearby. And it's the same skunk that it was in Genesis chapter 3 that said, did God really say he couldn't eat of all those trees? Casting doubt upon the Word of God. By the way, let me say this about this idea of no substance. Where's the old-time holiness in the CCM? Where's the old-time repentance? Where's the old-time prayer? Where's fasting in all that? I'll tell you where it is. It's gone. It's all gone. It's been replaced. Contemporary Christianity is like cotton candy because of the sweetness, the sustenance, or lack thereof, the substance, or lack thereof, and then lastly, the stickiness of cotton candy and the CCM movement. You say, what do you mean, Pastor? Well, have you ever gotten cotton candy on your hands? Good night. My children, I could almost weld their hand to their face when they get that cotton candy on there. You almost have to break it off. Can I say that when it comes to clear, revealed Bible truth from the Word of God, the CCM gets a little sticky, Pastor John. Gets a little sticky. Why is that? Because it's full of compromise and outright disobedience to what this book says. Outright disobedience. See, God commands us against worldliness. Again, he says this, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. 1 John 2:15 says that. But folks, rock and roll music is coming into churches. It belongs in the world. It's part of the world, ladies and gentlemen. But listen to me, and listen well, it ought not to be in the church. See, that's a clear violation of the Word of God. I think of when it comes to separation, the Bible says, wherefore come ye out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. But the pervasive philosophy of the CCM is not separation, but integration. Be like the world and you'll win the world. Violation of the Word of God. Something else. The Bible teaches us to abstain from all appearance of evil. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22. I've seen so-called Christian rockers. Pastor John and I, every week of the world, we get junk mail inviting us to these quote-unquote worship services, and they look just like the rock bands that I used to play with. That's not abstaining from all appearance of evil. Amen? I think of the command for us to be an example. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example unto the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Ladies and gentlemen, that's no example to follow. Ear expanders and nose rings and rock and roll bands and smoke coming up on the pulpit, that's no example. The Bible tells us to be considerate of one another. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. That Christianity is not considerate. It's in violation of the Word of God. I think of we're supposed to be responsible to the weaker Christians. Romans chapter 14 tells us that. Tells us that, hey, Paul said, look, I can eat any kind of meat I want to, but if it's been offered to idols, if there's a new Christian there, he's got a problem with that, I'm not going to eat it. We had somebody recently contact our church. It was a... not a rock group, but kind of like that. And they had said, could we come to your church? And I think you folks know how I answered. They'll be coming here next week. No, of course not. Amen. I think you folks know how I answered. I said this we were typing back and forth on an email, and he was very nice, and I tried to be very nice. I really do. I try to be nice about those things. But I said this, your music takes me back in my mind to places I don't ever want to go again. See, because when I listened to music like that, Brother Meyer, it was in the bar. Right before we'd get ready to play our show or our set. So it doesn't do anything for me but bring me back to the wicked worldly days. Known disobedience to God's Word will hinder everything about your Christianity. And so The CCM, it's like cotton candy. It's sweet. The sustenance, the substance, the stickiness. What does God desire for His people concerning our motives, our methods, and our message? Very quickly, that they be in accord with His Word. All three of those things. Motives, methods, and message be in accord with His Word. Jeremiah 6:16, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, see and ask for the old path, wherein is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." Listen, the old paths are the reliable paths. Amen? They've proven themselves. They're the right paths. They're the righteous paths. They're restful paths, and they're reputable paths. The old paths are the one you can trust. This CCM, it's a lot like cotton candy. It's awfully sticky. There's no substance to us. There's no sustenance, no nutritional value. And it's only sweet. Ladies and gentlemen, God help us in our corporate life as a church if we ever subscribe to this. By the way, if we ever subscribe to this, I'm out the door. I'm out the door. Whatever starts coming in, I'm out. Either they're out the door or I'm out the door. Somebody's leaving. But how about in your own personal life? You say, well, it's a little, it's okay. Maybe it's not good for church, but it's okay here or there. You be careful. You be careful. It'll creep and seep into your life. Cotton candy, contemporary carnal Christianity. Father, we pray.